Today's gospel, we have the story of the Roman centurion that the Lord makes an example of in terms of faith, because he requires and requests a miracle. And he says, please don't even bother to come to my house. I'm a man who gives orders. Give the order and it will be done. And the Lord praises this very highly in terms of having that level of faith. But this is paradoxical. A centurion was in charge of 100 men. And these men, he could give orders and slash people to ribbons with their swords. It's most likely he has killed people with his bare hands in the name of Rome and in following orders. So for him, giving orders is a simple thing, be it good or be it bad. A soldier doesn't always do bad things. A soldier might be ordered to deliver a message or to do something for his commander or for his men. But the main purpose of an army is to kill and to destroy. And this is the main reason, therefore, for the hierarchy within the army and the chain of command and why it's so strictly followed. And in the Roman case, very strictly followed. The Romans have been compared to the Nazis in terms of their iron-fisted sense of order. But we know, if it was not proven at the trials in Nuremberg of the Nazis when they made the defense, we were being good soldiers and being obedient. And the world said, that's not enough. When you're obeying a totally corrupt regime that has no moral base, you still have to make a moral decision. You still have to know what's right from what's wrong. And you can't simply hide behind, I'm an obedient soldier. Now, this passage in Scripture gets abused a lot. The concept of obedience sometimes goes too far. So the question is, who's the one giving the orders? In the case of the Nazis, it was Hitler. But for the few who resisted doing those evil things, they listened deeper to what's right or wrong. And the one giving them orders was the Lord. In the case of the centurion, perhaps yesterday he was giving orders of the emperor and killing people. But on this day, he's listening to the Lord, requesting something and seeing, this man performs miracles. I need a miracle. Let's get it done. And so the chain of command is taken to a whole new level. But the real issue is, who is giving the orders? Now, people say to me, Father, you never preach about politics. There's things going on in the world you never say from the pulpit. And for the most part, that's true. It's really kind of too ugly out there to bring it to the pulpit. And there's too many churches that do that anyway. For crying out loud, I think most of what the Pope says is political. The last thing I think we need to do is bring politics into the church. But what is politics? Politics is simply how people behave in public, how they treat each other, how they manipulate and machine each other and try to put their will over somebody else's. And I will tell you this. We think we should avoid that, and that politics, especially in the church, is bad, and it really isn't a good thing, especially when we manipulate. I think Christians always live by the concept of being direct and honest and obedient and hardworking, but always obedient first to the Lord. Especially when someone's giving us orders. Again, who's giving the orders? You got to be clear on that. Politics, trust me when I tell you this. I spent many years as a baby photographer. I was a baby photographer, two-month-old babies, house after house in Boston. You learn things from babies. Babies have politics. You know, they put babies together and they study them. And the babies, if they track their eyes, babies know which ones are the males and which ones are the females. And no one can figure out how they know this. You ever play with a baby? Some babies look at you and they're mesmerized. Who is this person? trying to get me to smile. And they look at you. Sometimes they cry. But sometimes babies do funny things. You come up to a baby, you ever see a baby do this? I'm not looking at you. And then you come on this side, the baby goes like this. I mean, a baby. How does a baby know to turn away, to ignore someone? I'm not looking at you. And you can't get that baby to look at you. I'm sorry, but that's politics. That's who we are from birth. It gets more complicated as we grow older. We try to manipulate each other. And sometimes as we make decisions, someone will give us information and maybe falsify the information or sway it or swing it or change it just enough that you make the wrong decision. And maybe that helps them in whatever it is that's on their agenda, maybe to take your job and make you look bad. Or maybe it's to accomplish a more serious goal, or maybe a frivolous one. But I watch a lot of people manipulate a lot of other people, and we call that political. And we're at a time now when the country that most of us are from is about to be manipulated out of Europe, Evropi, which is a Greek word, the country that named Europe, that fought and died, the first ones to really stand up to the Germans, are now being thrown out by those same Germans from Europe. None of us knows what that's going to bring tomorrow. I don't think it's right. I think there's a lot of manipulation going on, but who am I to say? All I know is the country of my, where I'm descended from, is in serious trouble. And I hear Americans, Greek Americans, even clergy, saying things like, oh, those Greeks, they never pay their taxes. They're too disorganized. They don't work hard. They're lazy. And this is what they deserve. This is a Greek Orthodox church. I know a lot of Greeks in this church. That's not the kind of people that I know. They're proud people. Hardworking? I have some people work so hard in this place, they hardly see their families. I don't think I know very many Greeks who aren't hardworking. I don't know very many lazy Greeks. In my life, I've not met many. And yet Greeks are saying this about Greece. And we compare it, say, to America, because we live here now. And we say, well, things are great here. Oh, really? Things are great here. Or did we just watch the Supreme Court get manipulated by the media? And for years, a systematic pressure to get these new laws instituted today that I'm not sure how the church is going to be able to cope with. I don't think it'll be long before we have people coming in our doors and saying, you know, males and males and females and saying, marry us, and we're going to have to say no. And you know they're going to drag us to court. That's what's waiting for us. And there's a certain point where I can't sit quiet about such things. So the question is, who's giving the orders? And sometimes I wonder about us. Who's giving the orders to us, and who are we listening to? If we can turn on our own nation, the country of our birth, our fatherland, and say, well, this is what they deserve, how do we come to that? That's an Orthodox nation. They may be starving soon. If you look at the history of Greece, they've been thrown through the Dark Ages many times. The little town of Picardy, which so many here are from, maybe it'll become a big town again when everybody goes back to the mountains because there's nothing to eat anywhere else. Are we just going to sit here and say nothing? Do you know that the debt that they owe that's put them in this is less than one aircraft carrier that the United States will build? And far less than we pay for our new submarines. We have given all sorts of money to the country that we fought, Germany and Japan, and even Italy. In Greece, what reparations did it get? And how can we point that finger? We fought a war, and you see it in the papers again now because they want to get rid of the rebel flag. We fought a war 150 years ago, a civil war against the South. And the South is still not recovered. In that same period, Greece has been run over by Italians and Germans and communists. And not long before that, was drained dry by Turks for 400 years. When do they get to recover? So who's giving the orders? Where's the manipulations coming from? How can we sit here and say, oh, they deserve it, when our system in front of us is unraveling? And let's not pretend that America is remotely fiscally responsible. So I'm guilty too, because I don't talk about these things, because we talk about the gospel and we focus on doing what's right individually. And that's what we're supposed to do. But somewhere along the line, according to this passage today, orders are being given. And orders are being given both for good things and for bad things. And there's times when you have to know when to take a stand. And there's times to be quiet, and there's times not to be quiet. There's times to evaluate and say, what is going on? Not to quote Bob Dylan and to say, the times they are changing. That was in the 60s. Boy, it sure seems to be changing a lot faster now. We have to be aware of such things. I don't think it's a good sense of obedience to just close off and not be aware. Neither do I think that churches should jump forth and be political entities. But we live in the world, and yet we're not of the world. And so when the world gives us orders, we have to know what ones we need to follow and which ones we don't. And which ones are right and which ones are wrong. And when we get caught up in the wrong arguments, and when everyone's manipulating everyone else, and we get caught up in it, we find ourselves putting down our own people or our own country or our own faith. Who's giving the orders? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.